Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Socarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. There's a new episode. Oh my goodness, there's a new episode up. So go check that out on YouTube. I almost said YouTube.com as if no one knows where to find YouTube.
YouTube.com. Wow.
It's on a thing called the internet.
Have you ever heard of the internet? You ever used Google before? So yeah, go check out the new episode of Real Housewares. And joining me is a wonderful man who also has some new content up with Rose Prick's Bachelor Rose podcast. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, babes?
It's going great. I'm feeling very refreshed. We had a nice Monday off because there's no Real Housewives of Atlanta, so we got to relax a little bit, come in fresh for today's Below Deck recap. But before we get into that, first and foremost, today is a Crappens On Demand Day, which means you could look at our beautiful unshaven faces.
Yeah, we're Gucci. Both unshaven today.
I know. I was going to shave, and then I was like, I may get coffee instead. So that's at patreon.com/watchforcrappens. We also just recorded a bonus episode where we talked about Spy Games, which is a ridiculous new show on Bravo. So we sort of gave our impressions of that. And then on top of that, we are once again hitting the road. This week, we have some big shows in Texas. We have on Thursday, we have two shows in Austin. The first one is sold out, but we actually still have tickets to the late show. Here's what we are recapping. For the early show, we will be recapping the latest Vanderpump Rules episode. And then for the late show, we are doing Real Housewives of New York Classic Episode Season 5, Episode 14. It's called Slutty Island, but you may remember it from the famous moment of, whoa, take a Xanax, take a Xanax.
Yep, Miss Ramona Singa's finest moments. Well, one of her finest moments.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, it's that famous episode where Aviva Drescher flies down to the Caribbean and is like, you should have put a sign up that says congratulations. So that's a great episode. We'll be doing that at the 10 o'clock show. And then on Friday, we have Houston show and we'll be doing Real Housewives of New Jersey. Next week, it's just a week away. I can't believe this, Ronnie. Next week, we are going to Birmingham, Alabama. Really, technically, it's Hoover. Please come out and see us there. We're going to be having a super fun time. And then the very next night, we are going to New Orleans. So excited for that. That's going to be amazing. And fingers crossed, we'll have some special guests. We have to confirm any of that. But either way, it's going to be a great time next week. And then we're going to round out February with Lawrence fucking Kansas and Omaha, Nebraska. It's going to be wonderful. WatcherCrappins.com for tickets. Come join us. Don't be afraid to come solo. You'll make friends. Just ask some of the people from this past weekend who made friends. So there's that.
Yeah, like us.
Yeah.
Always going to make friends at a Crappins show, okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking up pictures right now to tell everybody, hey, we're going to do this Real Housewives of New York episode. And so I've got like hundreds of pictures of Ramona Singer in front of me. I mean, everyone is better than the one before it. She is just, what a treasure Ramona Singer is, well, seriously.
It's funny, if you look up at the screen, you'll see three of them right here on Crappins On Demand under my chin.
That shirt's amazing. Pop icon. I am pop icon. Okay.
Yeah, pop icon. So anyway, let's get into Below Deck because this season is crashing to an end with just crazy male toxicity.
The misogyny. Delicious. Another day chock full.
I know. It seemed to have like really crescendoed last week, but it was still at a nice simmer for today. And by the way,
a nice steady pace of misogyny this time. You know, it wasn't like too in your face. It wasn't too subtle. It was just the perfect amount.
A nice like balance, right? And by the way, Below Deck Sailing Yacht premieres next Monday, and I'm actually very excited for it. I never thought the added twist of Below Deck but just diagonally would be fun, but I'm into it. Like, wow, what would Below Deck be like on an angle?
Yeah, and now we know what it looks like when we live in a world where Adam is a crossover star.
Yeah.
Like, Adam is anchoring a show. Little, get it?
I do get it, and I appreciate it.
It's a terrifying time we live in, is my
point.
It
really is.
So anyway. Also, Bueller had surgery. Do you see him on the couch behind
what?
Me?
Oh,
it's
what happened? Bueller, you didn't tell me.
I wish I was as lucky as Bueller. Look, he's looking at me.
Is it cosmetic?
You can't see it. Yeah, he got a new
face. He got a facelift.
Bueller had to get surgery because, well, he broke his toe. I had to take him to the place to get his toenails cut, right? So I made an appointment. And, of course, we went out of town. I'm a terrible father. So his nails were too long is the point. So he hurt his nail on the blanket, and he was bleeding. So I took him to the doctor. And they were like, well, his teeth are really gross, too, while we're talking about your terrible parenting. So I was like, okay, well, how much is that? And they told me. But they had to put him under to do it, right?
Wow.
So I was like, well, if you're putting him under, can you take these big growths off his side? Because they look like cancerous growths, but they're not cancer. They were tested, but the doctor in LA wouldn't take them off because it was too dangerous to put the dog under. But I was like, hey, if you're going under, get it all done. Do the whole house. You know what I mean? So he came back with better teeth. He's, you know.
Is he licking himself? Don't lick yourself.
He won't keep his cone on, so I'm chasing him around like the cone police because he keeps finding a way to pull off his cone. And he's got a new face. I mean, he's got the face of a French bulldog now. So
I mean,
it all worked out.
Like
so thanks, Betts.
Yeah. This is very exciting.
I know that you guys are dying to hear from that, but that's where my concentration is today. I keep looking behind here. Let's see.
I want to see. I can't see him in his. I want to see Bueller in a cone.
He doesn't have his cone on. He takes it off. I'm telling you.
How does he
you.
Take it off?
He finds a way. He goes up against a wall and angles himself where he can grab it with his head. He can grab it with one of his paws and he keeps taking it off. And then I started just putting it on tighter because it's like a Velcro thing. And then he's like. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to murder the dog with the cone. Anyway, sorry. So if I'm distracted, it's because I'm on lick patrol.
Well, the good news is that Bueller doesn't seem to be very active at the moment.
he's pondering. In pure pain. It's like his face.
Wait, can
his
we
mouth.
See him again? I really want to see Bueller again.
Look, he's staring out the
God.
Window.
He's just the cutest dog.
He's staring out the window like there's anyone else that could take me. Anyone?
Oh, the plight of clean teeth. The plight. The poor dog.
Okay, well, so misogyny, that's the point.
Yeah, so the point is this, misogyny. So so this week on Below Deck, we pick up again where we left off from last week, which was the guys being drunk assholes and being disgusting and fighting with Kate, and then Captain Lee having to come downstairs and saying, "At this hour, I don't want to hear slamming doors and loud voices," as he says it in a loud voice and then slams the door.
Yeah. And Tana's like, "Holy shit, not good. Jiminy Cricket, dude."
Yeah. And Kate just goes, "Well, I'll see you later. Good talk.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Good talk."
But then
so
she goes into
Kate
her bed.
Goes to bed crying.
Yeah, which is always so weird to see Kate cry.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like, yeah, I don't like it. So Riley's like, "What's up, Kate?" She's like, "You know, they really hurt my feelings. They're like so mean to me. They're terrible." She goes, "Well, we all have our breaking points." Riley,
yeah.
Riley being comforting is still so, it's like abuse comfort, you know?
Yeah. She's like, I imagine her consoling someone just in the most aggressive way. "They're there. They're there. Got it? They're there.
There. There." She's that girl who, like, pats you on the back when she's hugging you, and you, like, cough up a chickpea. You know, like, a chickpea flies across the room.
She's like, "Kate may be hard and have resting bitch face, but she's also vulnerable." I'm like, that's... I don't know, it just felt like... I felt assaulted by Riley's, comfort.
I know. It's like an assault... a mean card. You know, it's like, "Happy birthday, stupid!"
Yeah.
So Kate's like, "If I started my yachting career... when this behavior was acceptable, I would not be here right now. It's misogynistic assholes, and I'm over it. You know what? If they want to make me the bad guy, I can play that."
Yeah.
Yes, finally.
Seriously. Although she's sort of been low-key threatening that all season. I think it was about like half a season ago that she was like, "I'm done being nice to Kevin. I'm done." And then they keep showing shots of her being like, "Kevin, the guests love your food." I'm like, "Kate, you mean her."
"You're doing great."
So, yeah. So, it's the next morning. By the way, and we should say that Riley, her job evaluation or workplace review was, "I would rather have explosive diarrhea than work with these fuckers." Got it? So Captain Lee is like, "Well, this season has been extremely rough. We've had injuries," and then we see a flashback of Brian Miney as he hits it on the deck.
Quitting. Abby like, "I don't know if I'm really cut out for this." And then we've had injuries again. "Oh, my nose!"
We had one deckhand fall over in the shower for no good reason. I mean, it's the size of a coffin standing on its end, and somehow he managed to fall on the floor. I don't know how that happens, but
literally impossible to fall down in the showers, but he did it.
He did it, and still somehow Ashton respects him more. I don't get it. Don't understand it.
main crew, salon, salon, main crew. And Kate's like, "Huh, do you think this is going to be a rousing pep talk?" No.
So Captain Lee's like, "All right. What happened last night, I don't give a flying fuck about. You know, I don't care if my fuck is flying, it's on the ground, on a train, swimming. I don't care where the fuck it is, because I don't care about it.
Anyone who can't get along, go downstairs, pack your bags, fuck something while you're flying. Maybe you'll meet the fuck I've got that's flying up in the air. Give
Which
each
I still
other
don't
a
care
high
about.
Five."
And by the way, if your fuck fucks my fuck, that means I will, by association, not care about your fuck either, because I already inherently don't care about my fuck.
Guess about my flying fuck that's flying up there not giving a fuck about your fuck? Doesn't like it loud either, so be quiet even if you're in the sky with my flying fuck. Got it, fuck?
You know what happens when my computer goes to sleep and I see a bunch of flying toasters? I say, "Oh, look at all those flying fucks I don't care about."
If anyone thinks I won't fucking fire someone in the middle of a flying fuck, you don't fucking charter me, fuck.
And then Ashton like leans forward and looks at Riley like, see, you thought you were safe, but you're not.
Yeah, he looks at Riley like she's gonna stand up and be like, "I will not get along with everybody. Got it," and just leave downstairs. He's such a little shithead, even with his side looks in a group meeting, you know, which shouldn't mean anything.
But it did, because remember last episode, she was like, "Oh, you think that you're going to fire me? You really think that I'm going to get fired in the last charter?" So he was looking now to be like, see. Shut up, Ashton.
So the captain's like, "All right, let's get to work. We've got 2.5 days left. Jesus Christ, I could eat a shit sandwich every second every day for 2.5 days.
And I can, if I can do it, so can you. I ordered a shit sandwich from I Don't Give a Fuck Express, and guess what? I hated every fucking second about it, didn't even care about it, still ate the whole thing, had a smile on my face. Okay, get back to work, kiddos.
We used to have an I Don't Give a Flying Fuck at my first restaurant, shit sandwich, right?
Yeah, shit sandwich neighborhood bar and grill. Okay, we had to wear name tags on our lapels, and the name tag said, I don't give a fuck what my name is, I just want your order. That's the sort of waiter I am, all on the name tag.
So Ashton is like, dick can't, asshole, asshole, dicks, dicks, asshole, asshole, and Riley goes, and off, turns her radio off in the laundry room.
Yeah, I miss that. So, yeah, so they basically, they're setting up their schedule, and it's like, who wants to work with Riley? So it's going to be Brian. And then it's like, time for provisions, time for provisions. And they're just bringing stuff onto the boat. And they have these like
Lisa Vanderpump flower crowns.
Yeah, flower crowns. But like,
what else would you
crowns.
Call them, Ben?
I don't know, like laureates maybe. I don't know. But Kevin's all of a sudden like,
who's she?
Wait, laureate? Oh, you know, laureate. She's gonna. You know, she was gonna be a charter guest, but she missed her chance. So she
wanted to talk about a smarty pants Real Housewife. God, laureates.
Yeah, laureates.
God, she would come in.
Oh, God, she came to Shit Sandwich Bar and Grill every single week and thought she ran the place. Guess what? She didn't. I did.
God, you got to wear a goddamn gown every time you go out, laureate.
Yeah. Yeah, here's one thing I would never want to hear again for the rest of my fucking life. I'd like a pina colada with extra Malibu in it, courtesy of laureate. That was her special drink. Oh, meanwhile, Ronnie is... Something's happened to Ronnie over in the street. Did you get a Charlie horse?
Yes, I'm too fat to like cross my legs properly, so I was crossing one of my legs under my butt, and then I got a laureate horse. All right, it's like a Charlie horse, but it thinks it's too cool for school. Right.
Last thing I need is another crew member going down with a laureate horse.
Okay, so yeah, she's wearing her Lisa Vanderpump flower crown. Glad we could agree on the title of that kind of crown.
LVPFC.
Yeah, and.
And Kevin doesn't have his.
Oh, Kevin's like, where's the flower crown?
And he's like, genuinely upset.
It's over there. It's for morale boosting day.
So now Kate is like sitting on the dock, just like smoking a cigarette, having some time off. And Tanner just walks up to her and goes, "Hey, listen. So we'll set a sex date after the night out or before we go out again. You know?" She's like, you know what? Let's just like let it happen organically. He goes, yeah, okay, we'll go Whole Foods on that shit. I don't know what that means.
She's like, you said it out loud. Not going to be today. And he goes, okay, love you. Ugh.
Could you imagine even walking up to a coworker, even though you've been flirting? Like, could you just imagine just like, hey, so let's set a sex date.
Hey, when are we going to fuck?
Oh my God.
So Brian goes up to Riley. You know, Brian Brew is another one who's just totally fake. Like, Kevin, yeah, sometimes he says, stop being such an asshole, Kate. But for the most part, he's much meaner behind her back. And I think Brian is the same way. It's like Brian's so big and tough whenever Riley's not there, and he's just with his bruise. But then whenever it's with her, he's like, you seem okay today. Everything going all right? She's like, yeah, I just avoid this asshole. It's good to see you're okay with Courtney.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, actually, not really okay. Okay, so now what are you going to count on Riley to help you out with your girlfriend?
I wonder if Riley still wants to have sex with Brian, because in the beginning, when she first showed up, she's like, I would fuck him all night long. Get Courtney out of here, because I just want to go down on him. But now she's just like, ew. I hope that she still doesn't like him, because, you know, I agree. I think that Brian he plays the nice guy thing, but he's still, he's a dick too. And it's always
stuck with me when he said in the very beginning that his problem in relationships is that he would always go out and get wasted and lose his temper and stuff, and that he had a really, really bad temper and he wasn't proud of how he treated women in the past and that and that. And it's so thinly veiled.
Yeah, you know? It really is. I almost wonder if he's the sort of person who goes after the nice girl or has like the nice guy relationships to prove to himself that he is a nice guy, sort of like Jax. You know, last season on Vanderpump Rules, does all like the sweet, cute things to like prove to himself he is the nice guy. But there's still like real work that needs to be done. Who knows? But either way, Brian and Courtney are still in a really bad place because last episode she stood up for Kate, and he's like, you stand up for the wrong people. So so Courtney, basically, her issue is that she doesn't like that Brian takes anything that does not agree, that he doesn't agree with, as like a disloyal, as a disloyal overture. Everything is a disloyalty. And Courtney is like, I'm allowed to have opinions that are different from him, and I don't know why I wouldn't be able to, you know?
Yeah. She's like, I'm allowed to have thoughts. So thanks. So Kevin is talking to Kate, and he's like,
Kate, you remember how I wasn't allowed in the interior?
And she's like, yeah, well, obviously, like, you're allowed now. He goes,
yeah, of course, because now I'm standing at the galley.
I'm like, ooh, got one, Kevin. Kevin, shut up.
I know, seriously.
Just cook something.
Yeah. And then Courtney comes by eating some chocolate, and Kate goes, are you eating shit? She goes, it's chocolate. Can you imagine if Courtney was actually just, like, eating feces? She's like, oh, well, how awkward.
We started off this episode with the pep talk about shit sandwiches, so. Commercials. Here comes one right
now. Stay warm for a while. 18 degrees on Saturday. Cooler, though, as we head through the week across all areas. Hey, have a good afternoon.
What's this? It's all right, Daddy's here. Come on. What's this?
You might be surprised to know that you can get de facto five-star life insurance from Aviva from just £5 a month. Yep, thought so.
Don't put it off. Get a life insurance quote today. Direct at aviva.co.uk.
From the acclaimed director of The Witch.
What made your last keeper leave?
Went mad, he did.
Critics are calling The Lighthouse ferociously entertaining.
Don't be losing your head now.
And an instant classic, with career-best performances from Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson.
You're just trying to scare me.
It will leave you guessing throughout.
How long have we been on this rock? 5 weeks? 2 days? Help me to recollect.
The Lighthouse, in cinemas January 31st.
So Courtney is talking to Brian, and she's like, so you want to talk? And he's like, what do you want to talk about? You're the one who had the last word. What are you supposed to talk about? She's like, how did I have the last word? I started crying and went to the van, and then you just walked right past me.
Yeah, exactly. And he had said, he goes, well, I told you what you did. I told you exactly what you did. You stood up for Kate, as if there was anything like wrong with that, you know? So she goes, she says, yeah, I was crying. You walked right past me. And he goes, oh, so it's my fault again. So it's like this whole victim complex, you know? It's like, yeah, it kind of is your fault, okay? It is possible that things can be your fault multiple times, especially if you do boneheaded things multiple times, Brian.
Yeah. He's like, you know, loyalty is a big thing in my life. Everyone I grew up came from a broken home, so our only loyalty was to each other. I'm like, well, sorry about your parents getting divorced. You're still an asshole.
Was he like in the Goonies or something? What is this? Like all you like, he just says,
he's a Cabbage Patch Kid. Yeah. He's basically a Cabbage Patch Kid.
He's like, my parents were divorced, and so therefore I only had my friends, and loyalty was what kept us going. You know, not to discount the pain and that comes along with having parents that divorce, but I mean, he's making it sound like he was, you know, left on an island with a bunch of kids, and they had to band together or else be killed off by some dark force.
Yeah, he's very Orphan Annie right now. Like, okay, sorry about that. Still can't just be an asshole to people.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's like, I can't be nice guy all the time, bro. Like, I'm done with this, bro. I'm sick of it. I've had it, bro. And I was like, you look so tough with your fucking bloody nose that you got from falling down in a stand-up shower. Stupid.
So then Courtney goes upstairs and she starts crying. So Kevin starts hugging her and stuff. And then Brian goes over to Tanner. He starts bitching about Courtney and says, I feel like such an idiot. I feel like such an idiot, you know, like, you know, he starts basically bitching about the situation. And Kate's now like comforting Courtney and everything. And Brian tells us, or he tells the bruise, he goes, it's always you did this and you did this. It's never anything that she did. I'm like, what did she do? Tell me what she did. What did she do?
Well, and who gets mad at you for something that they did? You know what I mean? Like, Ben, why did you just get a Charlie horse? Like, you were the one who got a Charlie horse. Of course she's getting mad at you for stuff that you did. and not that she did. It only makes sense.
You so Courtney sent it to her. Yeah.
Courtney, yeah, but Courtney, you know, it's also like the curse of the hot guy. She should have dumped this guy a long time ago, but he's hot. Yeah. Like an ugly guy who doesn't work out would not get this far. Sorry to say it, because I know Courtney's always saying like, whatever, I don't just hook up with guys because they're hot. Well, you're staying with him because he's hot, because there wasn't like great conversation or anything that you were having at that dinner that you were forced to go on. You know, get rid of him is the point. Get rid of
him. It makes me sad to see that, like, you know, in the beginning she was like, ugh, I don't care, this guy, whatever, who cares, who cares, who cares, and now she's sort of fallen for him, and that she's like made to cry because of this douchebag that she seemed like she didn't even care about. It's like, no. So then he goes, every time we talk or have something like that, she runs and tells Kate. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Who are you telling right now? Tanner and Ashton.
Yep.
And like, why would he be so shocked that she goes and runs and tells Kate? Kate's her friend. Kate is literally her friend. The whole fight is that she defended her friend, and now you're surprised that she would then go and talk to her friend about this issue that came up when she was trying to defend her friend.
Yes. Also, these boys are the biggest tattletales. Every single thing they do, they're like, oh, bro, did you hear? So Kate's like, oh my God, this is the last charter and everyone is cracking. Cut to Courtney going, Simone, you're wearing the wrong skirt. Simone's like, OMG!
Simone, you're wearing a Keurig cup for your skirt. Oh, really? Oh.
Simone, you're wearing a skirt steak. Like, seriously, get it together.
So then now they line up for the guests, and Kate's like, to Captain Lee, she goes, have you ever wanted to throw up and smile at the same time?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Second day into eating shit sandwiches every goddamn second. Think that's easy to keep down?
Yeah, it's called Laureate walking into the restaurant and asking for one of her pina coladas.
Is Laureate always describing herself as the noble one?
Yeah, Laureate always trying to tell me how to make a proper onion peel just the way they do it at Applebee's, whatever that means. You like your onion peeled the way I make them, Laureate.
So this new group of girls come in. Dun, dun, yeah. Dun. They're so ready to party. It's like a typical party of girls.
Yeah, it's like, so Jamel Hill, I believe her last name is.
They're not woo girls, though. It's not the typical, not. Like, woo. They're like, hey, yeah, this
they're like,
is cool.
Hey, girls. Like, hey. Hey, yeah. Girls. We're hey, girls. So Jamel, is it Jamel Hill? I've got to look it up. I think it's Jamel Hill. Jamel Hill, right? So she is like,
well, Jamel.
Former...
I don't know the last name.
I think it's Jamel Hill. I've got to look it up.
Otherwise, I only write down first names, okay? Jamel My Hill. Fingers only Jamel move Hill. So fast.
So she's a former sportscaster from ESPN. So it's like a big celebrity charter and everything. So everyone's like all excited. And so we get like the boat tour, all the usual stuff. The boat tour, the boat leaving the dock, all that fun stuff.
And they're going to have a big 90s party because Jamel just got engaged. Mm-hmm. And her friend's like, here's a balloon thing. So have fun with that. And Kate tells us that she loves the 90s because I would go to ska shows and smoke a lot of pot. Is that dope?
I literally cannot imagine Kate Chastain at a ska show. Ska's like the Mighty Mighty Boston's. It's like a variation of punk that's been informed by reggae. It's like half the soundtrack to Clueless. It had like a very big moment from like 95 to 97 at most. I mean, it's always been around and it's still around, but it's like songs are like dun, 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 like horn sections and like
I love a horn section. How do I not know ska?
You know ska music. I guarantee you know ska. It was such a 90s thing. It was like...
Yeah, but in the 90s, I was like, whatever. Her name is Patty. Her last name is Lapone. And Broadway's
I'm sure
all
there
that
are
matters,
some
okay?
ska. I'm sure there's some ska covers of Patty Lapone. I guarantee there are. And you know I'm going to look it up. It's like... like, never had to knock on wood. Remember that song? That was my version. It's also my version of New Orleans music. It's in the genre.
It's in like a little innocent car beep. It's Ben's car tooting when he's mad at an old lady for changing lanes without it.
I wish my Subaru had as much authority as that. My Subaru is like, beep. It's just like the worst.
All right, damn it. So here we go. Back to this show. So Kevin is in the kitchen, and he's like, all right, first we're going to do a steak on a lobster, and then we're going to do a chicken pot pie and a chocolate mousse. And Courtney goes, word. And he's like, did you just say word?
She's like, as in, I don't have words for how simple this food is. Seafood Towers. Why not? Why not a seafood tower?
So Brian and Ashton are eating in the crew mess, and Riley just gets food and passes them. And Ashton's like, did she just take her food to her room? Shine. Quite a shine. Oh,
and they're like snickering. I mean, they're snickering. And I mean, it is so obnoxious. I mean, here's like a person who feels so uncomfortable around you that she has to eat her food in her room. It's almost like a, you know, high school, you know, the dorks that have to, you know, eat their lunch on the toilet in the bathroom. It just disgusts me. I'm disgusted.
I am disgusted right now.
I'm turning into Stassi right now. How dare you? How dare you make her eat in her bedroom? How dare you?
It's my fucking birthday.
It's my fucking yacht.
So Simone is chatting with the guests, and they love that she's from Johannesburg. And Jamel starts talking about how she was in Johannesburg working for 30 days. And Simone's like, this woman is kick ass. Kick ass, this woman.
She's totally kick ass. And so now there's like, now it's lunchtime and there's food that's coming through. And everyone likes the soup. Everyone's really into the soup. And Kate tells Kevin, she's like in the kitchen, and she tells Kevin that she wants to know what all the elements are of the meal, even if she's not always in the galley. She just wants to know what the elements are. And he's like, but you're not around, weirdo. You're like daddy. Not around, but I have a lot of opinions about my life and my food. Daddy.
Yeah, because he has plates or something out, and he's like, I don't need these. Courtney knows what I need. She's like,
yeah, but you're going to have to understand that there are times where I'm not in the galley because I'm actually working in other places, but I still need to know what's going on. And he's like,
come back, daddy.
Iceberg to daddy. I miss you. But the thing is this, just last episode, he was complaining that, like, when they had to serve dinner inside, and then she couldn't access the pitchers to do tableside soup pouring. And he's like, Kate always seems to be a little bit behind. She's just not with it. I'm like, she is literally asking you to tell her what's going on, and you don't want to tell her. Mm-mm. So, I mean,
seriously? Yeah. Seriously?
So, the girls are asking Kate, one says, could you give us an idea, like, what's going on the rest of the day? And Kate's like, eating, jet skiing, dinner at 8:30. And Jamal's like, actually, we prefer 9. And she tells her friend, she's like, I'm not here for someone to tell me what time I'm eating, okay? They set their schedule to us, not the other way around. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. Someone's going to try and start some fights. Mm-hmm. And you're starting it with the wrong person, because Kate, it's like the end, and Kate literally does not care.
Literally does not care. Yeah, you may be very, like, famous, but yeah, she will, like, not care.
Yeah. Have fun with your paid appearance on TV. Miss Famous Person.
I'm glad you really, really stood up for that extra 30 minutes. Okay, great.
Yeah. Ooh, really got me on time.
Yeah.
Nailed it, TV lady.
So then we have like a montage. Some of the ladies are jet skiing, Kevin slicing onions. And then we see all the women after their water toys and everything. They're now like hanging out. And Kate's just serving drinks and stuff. And it's like awkward and silent. And Kate has like the most Kate face on. Like, I'm just going to be very quiet. I'm going to put a glass down here. A glass down here, and if someone speaks to me, I will probably just leave the boat right away.
Pouring. Yeah. And so Jamal's like, there's some interesting service issues. And one of her friends is like, well, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's just a coolness. Like, interact with us. What the hell? Like, okay, now your waiter's not entertaining enough. Listen, I hate a waiter that leans on your table and says, how are we doing? Now, guess who is that kind of waiter? I was, for a very long time. always so jealous of waiters like Kate, who were just like, here's your food, and I will still get 20%. Meanwhile, I'm back there, like, tap dancing, doing wings, you know?
That's the sort of service we had to give it. Shit Sandwich USA, which is a spinoff of Fucktown Neighborhood Bar and Grill.
Flying Fucks Bar and Grill, right?
Flying Fucks Bar and Grill. So now Jamel is she thinks that she's gotten onto Kate's nerves. So so when Kate comes in, she's like, oh, that's it. Can we get anyone else, anything in here? Yeah, maybe 30 more minutes before another cocktail. I just want to be on your schedule. You know, yeah, you want 30 more minutes.
So Jamal's like, can I ask you something? You're not going to cuss me out, right, if I ask you something? No, and what kind of way is that to ask somebody something? Like,
yeah,
going shopping in a store, like, you're not going to cuss me out if I ask you where to find pants bigger than a waist size 38, are you? It's like, no, just ask her. I mean,
yeah, Kit's like, no, I won't cuss you out to your face. So she's like, we're not getting on your nerves, are we? And Kate goes, no, I'm so sorry you feel that way. And her voice is so high. It is in the, like, most classic Kate Chastain is annoyed right now voice.
Yeah. She's like, well, it's just like this energy. And I was like, well, how did I get on her nerves? Because it's like this energy you're giving me. And Kate goes, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone because she acts just like Dean. And then we get a clip of Dean being like, God, Kate, you're being such a bitch.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was so... still bothers me, that clip, because it's so condescending. It's because it's the same thing. It's like, smile, you're a girl, smile. So she's like, you're in Thailand on a yacht. Look elsewhere for satisfaction besides my face, because I'm giving you resting bitch face right now.
Wasn't Dean the one she made the penis pillow for, too?
Yeah. I mean,
full circle, guys.
It is really full circle. Full cock circle.
Yeah. So then, let's see, later on, oh no, so they're still talking, right? And Kate's like, no, sorry, you feel that way. Anything I can bring you? And she's like, well, I feel like that's a setup. What do you, how do we make this so that you win? Let me do whatever. Here's your free tiramisu, okay? That's what I would say.
I liked when her friend goes, hit her again with a nice nasties, Kate. Her friend is like, yeah, get her, Kate.
And so Jamal's like, I'm about to get on your nerves. And Kate goes, challenge accepted.
Yeah, it can be arranged very easily. So then Kate, of course, goes into the galley and is like, immediately starts bitching about Jamel. Or maybe it's in her room, but she's basically bitching to Riley. And she's like, I'm sorry, that woman's a fucker. I mean, she's full of shit. I mean, she takes me out in front of all her friends and says, am I getting your nerves? Well, you know what? You weren't until now. And now guess what? My voice is going to be 2 octaves higher when I'm around you.
And Riley's like, are you sure that she wasn't just saying, are we being too demanding? And Kate goes, maybe, but she's still a cut fitness. So, dang, girl.
I somehow missed that. I think I was just already like under my head under a pillow, because when Kate gets mad, it gets very scary.
You're hiding.
Yeah.
So the girls are talking, and one of them's like, you know, I've asked for hair before, but a guy's never bought me hair. And another girl's like, you don't ask for hair, you idiot. You ask for money and then let it land where it may.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask for hair? You just ask for the money, then you buy what you want with the money.
Exactly. So then Kate, it's nighttime, and Kate has now put on some glasses for evening service, and Tanner walks by and is like, hey, what's up, you sexy librarian? Hey.
She just goes, thanks, and walks off. So Kevin is still trying to be really charming with his Kevin the Musical thing. Can't with you. FF. So now he's wrapping Snapper in a banana leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Think he's going to make it fall. It's going to be my man.
It's going to be peanut butter and chocolate pie, just how I learned from Daddy before he left me, because I disappointed him so much. I'm sorry, Daddy!
So, let's see. They're getting decorated for this dinner, and Kate is now telling Courtney that she hates Jamal, and Simone's like, I liked her before, but now that she's getting under Kate's skin, I love her!
Yeah, Simone's having a great charter. She's so happy. She's almost learned how to make iced coffee, too. This time, I didn't put grenadine in it. So now it's dinner time, and Kevin's, like, plating some sort of mango. He's like, oh my fucking god, Mr. Mango, get on the plate. Just projecting all his childhood issues onto the mango.
Yeah, and the girls are playing Never Have I Ever. Oh, jeez.
Which, by the way, I could actually, if I never had I ever had to see Never Have I Ever played on Bravo again, I would be happy with that. I could deal.
Do not lick yourself. Do not lick yourself.
Bueller, stop licking.
Good boy.
Stop licking.
Look at that guilty face.
Don't
Mr. Mango, get on the plate, Mr. Mango. Get better grades, Mr. Mango. Do better in rugby, Mr. Mango. Please, Daddy, Mr. Mango.
This is the face Bueller's giving us right now.
Oh, no. Could
you,
Bueller.
How could you, Daddy?
This is really, like, honestly, like, this is why Crap Is On Demand is really a must. It's a must, because if you can't sit here and see Bueller poking his little head into the frame right now, he is sitting there looking at us. Oh, he is so cute. But he
he's like, I'm
going to
sleep, but also have a guilty face.
He's like, I'm going to stare at everyone. He's basically looking at the audience and saying, it's because of you that I can't spend more time with Ronnie. It's because of you.
So Kate is like, you know, normally I wouldn't be thrilled about having a party for a guest that's so rude, but this one's all about shoving dicks in her face, so I'm all for it. Yes, I am that cocky.
It's a lot of penis puns this episode, by the way. A lot.
Yeah, she's just whipping out all her puns today.
Whipping out something. So now Riley.
Whipping them out.
Yes, even you got on the spirit of it, Daddy. Hmm. So meanwhile, upstairs, Riley and Brian are inflating balloons because there's going to be another party in that. There's like that with the Sky Lounge. God, I always feel like Sky Lounge parties are so sad. I always feel bad when people have parties up there. It reminds me of, like, being in, like, a friend's den in high school. And
yes, that is what it is.
Debbie Gibson or something and dancing around and eating pizza, which...
Yeah, or, like, when you're at a cabin.
As I describe it, sounds really fun. But
yeah, it does. But it's like when you're at a cabin with your friends and you've been there for days, and then someone's like, tonight at 7, party in the living room. Yeah, you're like, we've already been together for days.
Because it's like, if you're, it's weird. It's that, it sort of goes back to that thing, like, let's make it organic. Because if you're with a bunch of friends in a cabin and you start playing music and you get drunk and you start dancing, it's the most fun. But if there's, okay, dance party in the living room at 8:30, it's like.
Yeah, it's basically like scheduling sex.
Bueller is shoving his face into the cushion right now.
I know. Yeah, now he's like completely over it. He's like guilt face over, pretending
Bueller's
I'm
like,
not
I
even
go
on
go to
this
the party.
Yeah. So the ladies enjoy their meal, right?
And they're eating the chocolate and peanut butter pie is a big hit, Daddy.
Yeah, huge hit, Daddy. And now they have to go get dressed for the 90s party. And of course, I love everybody's different version of what the 90s are, you know?
Yeah.
Like some girls, it's like crazy party, shiny outfits. And Courtney's like, look, I'm wearing mom jeans.
Yeah. I love the 90s. I mean, Spice Girls, Tamagotchi. I mean, I wouldn't really know because I was 5 years old, but I love it. I also, for some reason, took a lot of joy out of, there was a balloon that Riley was trying to blow up, and then something happened, something went dreadfully wrong, and it deflated all on her face, and she, I'd never been more terrified for a balloon. I was like, oh, you don't just deflate in Riley's face like that.
Who else was blowing up a balloon? She was facing, was it Tanner?
It's like Brian. It's Brian.
They're just staring at each other, and it just cuts back to each of their faces staring at each other deadpan while they blow up these balloons, hating each other's guts.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, so they're having their 90s bachelorette party and everything. And then Jamel is like, hey, guys, since Kate is here, I just want to pause everything and do a quick 2-minute rant about Kate. Is that okay? And I'm like, don't do this, Jamel. Jamel Hill, she is tangled with the president of the United States, actually. That's why she's a former ESPN commentator, because she tweeted some stuff about Trump, and it became a whole thing, and he was calling her to
really?
Fire. Yeah, the whole thing. I was trying to remember. I was like, why do I know Jemele Hill? It was a whole thing where she...
Well, look at that. I'm automatically back on her side. You see how it goes?
She called him a white supremacist, and then she basically got in trouble, and then she had to be like, those were my views, not ESPN's views, and then Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Trump were like, she should be fired, and then it was a whole thing, because it's like, wow, if you can't say things about the president, it's a First Amendment violation, blah, 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 blah. And then I think she did it again, and either way.
Oh, wow. How yes. quickly we go from being someone who just plays Never Have I Ever to, like, being a hero on TV.
That being
wow,
said,
nice work.
That being said, it's one thing to tangle the president of America. It's another to tangle with Kate Chastain. And I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be much harder to do the latter.
Yeah, so I was looking for something huge, but Kate's like, oh my God, now she's just looking for reasons to be mad at me. We cut to commercial. And then we come back and she's like, just wanted to say sorry, Kate, because I think earlier you got the wrong impression of us and I judged you prematurely and I'm sorry. I was like, what the hell kind of show is this? Get off the boat. This is the penultimate episode, lady.
Yeah, I mean, Jemele, I never would have thought Jemele Hill would be so in need of validation from Kate, you know, that's what this whole episode's been like. Do you like me Kate? I'm sorry, did I say something that made you mad, Kate? I'm sorry.
Well, basically Kate puts it perfectly, right? She's like, I love an apology, you know. I get called a bitch, but a bitch recognizes a bitch, and so I think there's a little respect happening.
It's true. Mm-hmm. So then they do a toast for being toast not to Kate for not being a bitch back to a bitch and something like that. I wrote down toast to Kate for not being a bitch back to a bitch, and then Jemele for being one. I think, is that what they said?
Being a bitch, they all cheer. That's what I wrote.
Yeah. Something
so
like
Courtney's
that.
Like, did she apologize? And Kate goes, yes, dramatically.
And then downstairs, Kate is like, I mean, I've talked so much shit about you, but it's fine. She just sort of saying it behind her back, like, whoops.
Yeah, and then everybody's going to bed, and one of the guests takes a humongous bowl of food to bed with her.
Yes, I saw that. It's like, I'll be in here for the next 14 hours.
Yeah, I paid for this. I'm eating tonight. So the next morning, lying on a couch. Oh, so all the girls are like lying on a couch, and Jemele's still sleeping.
Yeah.
And no one will wake her up because they're terrified.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Brews are talking, and Brian's like, last full day, Bru. And Tanner goes, he's basically like, yeah, I'm hoping I can still bang Kate later tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, please, make it stop.
God, no kidding. So Ashton and Riley are talking, and well, they're working. And Ashton goes, all right, you want you to drop the hook. And she goes, okay. So they start walking. She's like, you want me to? Never mind. It's like, what? Never mind.
What? They're like in a very lame version of Remains of the Day. You know, it's just like, I'm sorry. Because, you know, Remains of the Day was an entire movie of Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins accidentally about to say things and then not. I'm just going to say, yes. I mean, yes. Nothing. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have to go here? Yes. Okay. Sorry. Except theirs is more romantic than this.
Every Emma Thompson movie ever.
I just seem to remember that movie had a scene where they were like, oh, look, there's a bird. Like that. Like they opened up a fireplace and birds flew out of it. And they're like, oh, birds were roosting there. Look at that. Metaphors.
I couldn't make it through Remains of the Day. I'm sorry. That was too hard for me. I tried. I like Riley, the Riley of the day, because this is funny. This whole arc of every time you tell Riley, like, okay, Riley, open the window. She'll be like, okay, I'm going to open the window. Do you want me to do it like a quarter of the way? Because that's how you're supposed to do it, right? And so she does it every single time. She has something to say after, which in her mind maybe is just like, okay, I'm going to follow it up with.
I'm covering my bases, so I won't be
whatever,
in
you know, yeah. Who knows? But she does it every time. So watching her catch herself and being like, never mind.
I just like the idea.
Season can end now, you know.
I like the idea of Riley's of the day. I like the idea of her being in a British drama, a quaint Merchant Ivory drama. It's like, you know, she encounters Anthony Hopkins and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. What was that? Why are you looking away? Why are you bringing that over there?
I'm sorry. You should be sorry, fucking Anthony Hopkins, motherfucker. You want a fucking piece of me, you old sack of raisin shit?
Hey, there's some pigeons in that fireplace. Can you get them out of there, huh? No? Fine. Well, have fun opening up that fireplace later and watch the pigeons fly out, okay? Have fun. I don't know if that actually happened, if the pigeons flew out, but in my mind, pigeons flew out of a fireplace.
Didn't make it through it. Sorry. I can't go back and watch it already and then, like, talk about it now. Still haven't watched it. Don't regret it. Fuck that stupid, boring movie, okay? Movie's boring. You know what the remains of the day are called? Those hours that you wait just so you can go to sleep again, okay? It's for the remains of the day.
You are making an enemy out of my mother. That's what I'm saying. I've never heard my mom talk so excitedly about a movie like Remains of the Day. To this day,
older people loved those movies because there was Remains of the Day, there was Howard's End. Remember, they're like, oh, Howard's End.
There was that big Merchant Ivory thing. There was like Howard's End, there was Remains of the Day, there was another one. And then there were the ones that were like trying to be Merchant Ivory, like Lorenzo's Oil, you know, but that had some sense.
That wishes. I mean, look, I couldn't sit through that one either, but at least I knew that Merchant Ivory was classier than that.
Yeah.
Lorenzo's Oil. Yeah. Get a blotter.
Yeah, I don't need a movie about something fattening, okay?
Okay, so Courtney's eating in the kitchen. Kevin's like, what's that? And she says, it's a muffin. Duh, you made it.
Remember?
So he's make muffins because he's made muffins because he wants to make a big, long spiral cake, like a Little Debbie spiral cake. What are those called when you roll them up?
Like a roulade.
Okay.
Like a Swiss roll.
It's not a jelly, a roulade.
Well, a roulade actually may be, well, I don't know, a roulade may be more of like a meat thing where you roll up meat into something, but like a jelly roll or a Swiss roll is when you roll it up with cream inside, I think.
He's going to put that muffin on top of that to make a penis.
Yes.
How are we at 47 minutes? My God, it's because I keep talking about Bueller, that's why. I scroll through this, I'm like, nothing is happening, but we're like an hour into this, and I'm...
Hey, remember that movie Impromptu? It's about
I'm gonna kill you.
Chopin. It's about Judy Davis and Hugh Grant, and Chopin was in love. Remember that? So anyway, so Kevin, so now we have a new controversy. So there's gonna be a beach picnic, and Kevin wants to wrap all the food in Saran wrap, and Kate does not want to have Saran wrap because it's annoying. So she wants to put the food in the tubs. And she's like, why don't we do tubs, not Saran wrap? And he thinks it's because she thinks it's not good for the environment, which is also true. And he's like, daddy, I mean, we're killing the planet faster than just my Saran wrap on things, daddy. And she's like, it's not about the planet. It's about me, which goes for any scenario, by the way. Any scenario?
I think I've actually said that 20 times at least in my life. It's not about the planet. It's about me. Right?
It's the original Vanderpump Rules tagline. It's not about the planet.
So she's like, it's about me because I'll be standing on hot sand and trying to serve 9 million things. Okay, so you want me to serve guests in this crockery? Is that what you're saying? And he's like,
I don't understand why you've got to be dick about it, Kate.
And she knows just how to get him. She goes, okay, so is this a casserole you're making? You want to serve it in a casserole dish? You're making a casserole, just totally like undercutting his food. And he's getting so mad. She's like, I mean, I'm the one who's lifting it. I'm the one that's carrying it. But if this is what you want, a simple casserole, you know, we can maybe call up some people in Iowa. Maybe they have some, you know, ideas of how you can make it. I don't know, a little casserole.
Dump soup, anyone? That would be great. Sound good to you, Kev? So she tells us, well, I have a gift of creative revenge I only use when I'm very angry. And congratulations, Kevin. You've made me very angry.
You call me a dick over casserole dishes.
So Riley is like, I haven't taken a break all charter. And Ashton's like, every single day on this charter? I've had to do it on her terms. It's like, no, actually, everybody gets a break every few hours. So don't know how you're going to deal with that, but good luck, HR.
But then Ashton and Brian are going to go handle the beach picnic. So Tanner and Riley are going to hang back. So he tells Riley that she's going to hang back. She goes, okay, whatever. I'm good with whatever. Get paid to take a break. All charter. Fine. Oh, was that directed towards Tanner, that Tanner gets paid to take a break all charter? I thought it was her saying that she was mad that she always has to keep working.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought she was saying, too.
There's so many layers. Kevin's like, interpreted in so many ways.
I know, so many layers of just mendacity, you know? It's like, who's more mad that they didn't get a break?
Yeah.
Kevin tells Simone, he's like,
so much drama with the crew. I'm just happy we didn't get arseholes as the guest. And she's like, honestly, Kate is the worst human being I've ever met in my life.
She's like, she is the worst person I've ever had to work for. She is the worst boss. She never gives me opportunities. It's like, Simone, you're wearing a blender as a hat.
Yeah. And he's like, on other boats I've worked on, you get along with the chief soon. You make an effort to let each other shine. But she doesn't have my back at all. It's really sad, actually.
Really? Didn't you tattletale on her on day one? Like, I remember yes. her tattletaling on you as a revenge tattletale. So, I weren't like you complaining about her times. And her entire interior crew the first fucking chance you got?
Weren't you the one just last night who asked Tanner if Kate was being too much of a bitch for Tanner to put it in her? Weren't you the one who was saying that? What was now? And remind me what you're saying about Kate not having your back.
Yeah,
wonder why she would feel that way. Meanwhile, Brian on the beach, the man who fell on his face in a stand-up shower, then winds up getting bitten by a colony of ants while he's setting up the tent.
And then they just continue setting it up under a tree full of red ants. And Ashton's like, it'll be fine. They'll stay in the tree. What kind of idiots are you? And how did those ants not attack everybody? I was waiting for an ant attack. This episode didn't deliver on a few.
I know. Actually, the ants really did not deliver. I mean, also, by the way, you know what ants love?
Pants.
Picnics. They love picnics, a picnic.
That's true. Yeah.
And you set up a picnic under Fire Ant headquarters.
Yeah, carrying like a whole, you know, picnic basket. You know,
that just shows what assholes these guys are. Even the fire ants were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're not going out there. We don't have to spend our time with them.
Even the fire ants feel victimized by these guys.
They're all saying, got it, to each other. It's a bunch of Riley ants.
Got it. So like a whole long line of got it's walking away from camp.
They're like, who made this knot?
So the ladies love this. Kate set up masseuses for them all, and one of the ladies goes, God, it's hard to choose which is the best meal, but I think this is my favorite one. And Kate's like, great, Kevin will be so happy to hear that. Unfortunately, no one's ever going to tell him.
Yeah, I'll be sure to tell Kevin that you loved his casserole. So then up in the galley, Tanner's like, eggs are pretty gross. And Kevin goes, yeah, they are, but they're pretty cool, too.
Yeah, Tanner's standing there gaping with he's gaping, and then he yawns, like, right over the eggs that are being mixed, which is just so gross. Called Tanner spittle.
Yeah, it's just drooly, because you know that there's spittle just falling into that egg batter.
Yeah.
So Kevin is, like, making his... He's making this penis cake. He's rolling it up and everything. He's really struggling and stuff. And then the guests come back onto the boat. And then there's still continued coldness between Courtney and Brian. And they're like, they're sitting together. And Courtney's like, Brian, I washed your shirt. So it's hanging in the laundry room. But do know that it is not ironed because I still do not understand how to do that. And on top of that, I hate it anyway. So enjoy your wrinkly shirt that I cleaned.
He's like, thank you. Ow, my hand. Ow, my nose. Ow, my ankle.
Brian, did you just stick your fork into your knee by accident? Yes, I did. Why? I thought it was a pork chop.
So Kevin is like, Kai, I need you to help. And she's like, say it. Say what you need me to do. You want me to spatula chocolate all over your huge cock? Say it.
Like, do you want me to check to see if your casserole's done? Oh, no, you're not making a casserole this time?
Not sexual? Okay. Not sexual. Oh, big boy. Yeah, make me a terrible meal in a glass. Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it, really, does it?
Should I tell the guests that you'll be making a 7-layer dip? Is that what you would want to be doing? No? Okay.
So, let's see. Ravioli and Wagyu stug. And then his huge dick. So, the captain puts on his finest blue floral shirt.
He loves the ladies that blue for floral. Dinner. Yeah, it's classic. That's a classic Captain Lee, the blue floral. Well, it was either the blue floral or the orange and vermilion one, but I said blue floral today.
So lots of small talk over this dinner while Kevin is working on a gigantic chocolate cock.
It's like it looks
cake.
Very
with
real.
Pink hair. What is that pink
the
hair?
Hair? The
what
hair really bothered
that?
Me. Like up until that point, I was like, you know what? This is, I mean, it's a penis. This is actually a really good penis cake. Like, it really looks like a penis. And he put little balls. But then it looked like actual fabric or yarn. It was not like this should have been like a cotton candy moment. Or spun sugar, maybe. Spun sugar to make the pubes. But honestly, why are you giving these ladies an ungroomed penis cake?
Really, really gross.
I wasn't sure what that hair was, but it was disgusting.
Yeah.
So the cake is almost done. Kevin's like, I'm going to make the best goddamn cake I can. Cake, cock, cock, cake, cake. And then Jamal's eyes are closing. And she's like, I got to go to bed. And her friend's like, can you get through dessert? And she's like, no. And Kate goes, this is perfect. Kevin put a lot of effort into this cake. And Jamal's going to bed. And he's been a dick to me all season. And yeah, maybe I did act like a bitch. But guess what? I am a bitch. I've just been hiding it.
But now you've awoken the bitch, and there's no going back.
So what is this whole controversy? I don't get it.
Well, I don't know what the controversy is, but basically...
How is she being a bitch that Jamal went to bed before the cake came out?
I don't think anyone was saying that. I think that she's basically... I don't think anyone's saying she's a bitch because Jamal went to bed. But I think that basically... The thing is, the penis cake was made for Jamal because she's getting married. And so that was the whole point of it. And since she's going to bed, it's then just
Kate
a random
cake. Kate should have warned Kevin not to bring out the cake until...
I don't think Kate was under any obligation. The cake was being made, and Jamal did technically say that she was taking a nap. But either way, Captain Lee is... over at the table, the guests are asking Captain Lee some questions about retiring, and they're having like a serious conversation, and he's there. He's saying things like, you know, I'd like to do something that where I can help take care of kids, and I've been doing a lot of work for charity, and, you know, doing something useful with your life will keep you alive a lot longer, and that's why the most meaningful thing you can do... And then, like, a penis, just like Kevin brings in a penis with a sparkler sticking out of the tip, which actually kind of grossed me out.
And one of the ladies is like, wow, we were having such a grown-up conversation and then a dick, so thanks for that. And he's just really awkward. Kevin's like, where's Jamal?
penis for daddy.
And Kate says, Karma's my spirit animal, she's such a bitch.
And Captain Lee looks at this penis and goes, I'm not taking a bite.
Wow. And that brings us to the end. The big fight of the season, is Kate not warning Kevin that a guest went to bed.
Dun, I know. Dun, while he brings a penis cake outside. Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited to see what happens in the finale next week. And I'm really excited for the reunion, which apparently is happening. We had like an actual confirmation about that.
That what's happening? Yeah, a reunion's happening.
Okay, good.
For sure.
I think everyone's talking about it. I mean, Leslie Jones was on Jimmy Fallon talking about it. Everyone is buzzing about this season in a way where like pitchforks are out and like we need to hear. This is Andy Cohen's moment, and I'm sure he will.
Did you see him on Instagram Live with Tamara last night?
No, I did not. What happened?
He was doing an Instagram Live. He's like, hey, guys, just doing a live before the show. He keeps doing this, touching his face like this, like his hand is over his head backwards. He's
like Alien. Eh,
just wanted to touch base about the show, you know, before I have live, guys. And Tamara videoed in, you know, where it says someone would like to join, and it was Tamara. Mm-hmm. And she's like, whatever, just got fired by Andy Cohen, so been a great day for me, Andy. And then Andy says, this is the second time recently that I remember him saying this. He's like, well, Tamara, it did make you very, very rich. Like, what the hell kind of thing is that to say? But anyway, it's somewhere floating around there if you guys haven't watched it. I mean, it's pretty standard, boring Andy, but on Instagram. But
I'm actually a little surprised. If it's true that Tamara was fired, I'm a little surprised that she was fired because, I mean, we all can't stand her, but she's kind of a great villain. I'm just surprised that they would get rid of a top tier villain. I always imagine get rid of the people that are forgettable, that aren't interesting, and people are like, oh, she was so toxic. I think that she was sort of at a normal level of toxicity. I was happy to see her back as a villain for us all to get angry at. Like that was, I'm a little shocked.
Oh, she sucks. I'm glad she's gone. But I think it was over money because she said
probably.
She said, yeah, he said, you're very expensive. She goes, oh, yeah, I am very expensive. That's why you fired me. So she made it sound like she was trying to hold out in contract negotiations. And they finally were like, nope.
Yeah.
And Bravo they offered her. So according to Dave Quinn over at People, actually, according to her, talking to Dave Quinn, she said that she was offered 3 episodes to tie it up and then
yes,
said no. fuck you.
Yeah.
Bye. Although, I'm glad to see Tamara gone, hater. But Emily and, I mean, I love Callie, so she'll be fun. But, like, Emily and who else? And
well,
Bronwyn.
I love Shannon.
And,
I mean, there's...
It just seems like an odd group to be left with.
I guess they're probably the producers also. You know, the Trace Amigas thing, you know, it's maybe the producers were getting sick of the same Trace Amigas stuff, but I don't know. I think a great show needs a great villain. I'm sorry. And even as detestable as Tamara is, she makes a great villain. And she had not really been in villain form for a few years, and she finally was back in villain form. So we will see. We will see. I mean, this now it's on Kelly and Shannon's shoulders, and they are more than capable. They are two of my favorite housewives of all time. But I know what you're saying. It's fingers crossed that they can make this work. Because Gina... Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
We will find out.
Yeah, I don't even know if Gina's rehired yet. I haven't heard. Yeah. Anyway, the point is Below Deck is over, okay? So thank you guys for joining us. We'll see some of you in Austin this week. Otherwise, go get your tickets over at watchwhatcraftins.com for the rest of all.
And Vanderpump Rules will be up Thursday night after we record it, so just a day later than usual. And if anyone asks, feel free to let people know. Spread the word.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you in Austin.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay warm for a while. 18 degrees on Saturday. Cooler, though, as we head through the week across all areas. Have a good afternoon.
What's this? It's all right. Daddy's here. Come on. What's this?
You might be surprised to know that you can get de facto 5-star life insurance from Aviva from just £5 a month. Yep, thought so.
Don't put it off. Get a life insurance quote today. Direct at aviva.co.uk.